In a few minutes, the military comes to grips with the idea that many soldiers carry phones that are, in part, global tracking devices. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, welcome to tax filing season. For the rare organized person who worked on their taxes this weekend, I'm here to say that the IRS begins accepting returns today. For those of you saying, hey, I didn't even get my W-2 yet, the boss's deadline for getting those out is 2 days from now, Wednesday the 31st. This is also the unofficial beginning of tax fraud season, when the scammers descend and personal information pilferers really gear up around tax time. Marketplace's Rima Crace reports this year may be worse.
Just months ago, we saw one of the largest data breaches ever of personal information. Yes, the Equifax hack.
And that's exactly the kind of data that the criminals use to commit tax refund fraud and other kinds of tax scams.
Aviva Leighton is a cybersecurity analyst at Gartner. She says the most common scam is when someone files for a refund in your name. And if they don't already have your personal information, they often try to get it through email or phone scams, pretending to be the IRS.
Like telling you to come to their site to get the refund, or telling you that you're being fined or under investigation.
Nathan Rigney is a tax analyst at H&R Block. He says one way the IRS is trying to combat fraud is by delaying refunds for people claiming the earned income tax credit or the additional child tax credit.
Because those credits are target-rich for tax identity thieves, this allows the IRS to match the information on those returns to W-2s.
But he says the surest way to avoid scams? File early. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.3%, but S&P and NASDAQ futures are down 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury yield up 2.7%. There's a popular app that lets a person share maps of their jogs or bike rides with their pals. It's called Strava, and normally it's just your Strava friends who can see where you ran or biked. But some weeks ago, the company released a map of the world, all lit up with where everybody has been using Strava, including where soldiers, including U.S. soldiers, are exercising around the world. Military analysts just noticed this. I spoke today to Chris Fox, a technology reporter for our editorial partner, the BBC.
Countries where there aren't many Strava users, countries like Afghanistan or Syria, the maps are pretty much completely empty, apart from these isolated glowing spots on the map, which means you can actually tell where the military bases are. And there are some other things you can tell. For example, in the UK's intelligence headquarters, GCHQ, which is like a big circular spaceship building, you can see exactly the jogging routes people are taking on their lunch break, so you could work out where intelligence officers are jogging. And in the area of Nevada known as Area 51, you can see a one lone cyclist has done an outside lap of Area 51 on a bike. And it's not that the location of military bases isn't known, sometimes they are, or can be discerned from satellite maps, but what this reveals is the layout of the bases, the roads inside, and also popular exercise spots, so potentially a lot of data that the military probably wouldn't want shared.
Have we heard from the Strava people with this story that came out?
Well, Strava says it's only used data that was shared publicly. And the reason it's on this map in the first place is because it sells data like this to cities in a service called Strava Metro. So a city might want to know where people are jogging or cycling so it can improve the facilities in the city. But that's why this map exists in the first place. And the US military, it said, is investigating the maps.
Another issue that's raised by this is more general, which is if soldiers have Strava on their phones, what else do they have on their phones that the military hasn't thought through?
Well, there have previously been releases from some sectors of the military saying fitness trackers are okay. They might not have expected Strava to put out a map like this, so I expect there will be a review into what is acceptable.
All right, that's Chris Fox in London covering technology for the BBC. Chris, thank you. Cities and states have long given underrepresented groups, including African Americans, Latinos, and women, a leg up in bidding on public contracts. Now there's an effort to encourage contracting by businesses owned by lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans people. But it's not automatic, as Bobby Allen of WHYY in Philadelphia reports.
Mark Coleman runs the Philadelphia digital design firm, The Tactile Group. He's also Black and gay and says he has lost business because of his identity.
People found out that I, you know, had a husband and, you know, decided not to work with us before. So it's, there are actual real stigmas and barriers.
Which is why Coleman thinks lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender-owned businesses should be given special consideration for access to city work to help even the playing field in the face of discrimination. In 2016, 30% of the $991 million Philadelphia awarded in city contracts went to firms owned by racial minorities, women, or people with disabilities. Jonathan Lovitz wants LGBT businesses to have a slice of that pie. He's with the National LGBT Chamber of Commerce. California, Massachusetts, and the Seattle area in Washington State have all moved to help LGBT-led companies win public contracts after lobbying from Lovitz Group.
Historically, contracts have gone to those who have the most access to people who make the decision. And all we're trying to do is make sure those great LGBT business enterprises in Philadelphia have a seat at the table.
But adding another group to the minority set-aside category isn't as easy as writing them in. First, the city has to do a study to see if bias really exists. Amber Hikes heads the City of Philadelphia's Office of LGBT Affairs.
If you can't prove that there's a disadvantage or a disparity, then it wouldn't make sense to provide extra benefits.
UCLA law professor Eugene Volokh has examined the issue and is a critic of public contract quotas.
As best I can tell, neither being gay nor straight makes you a better construction manager, let's say.
But advocates of contracting preferences for LGBT businesses say it's especially important now in light of the Trump administration's efforts to reverse Obama-era LGBT workplace protections. In Philadelphia, I'm Bobby Allen for Marketplace.
And a big cryptocurrency exchange out of Japan got hacked last week. Nearly $500 million worth of digital currency was stolen. Now, Coincheck has promised to reimburse its customers to the tune of $426 million. Japanese regulators today ordered these exchanges to strengthen security. Coincheck didn't trade in Bitcoin, but something like it called NEM. That's the irony with this stuff. Hard to trace, but not impossible to steal. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.